from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Well, that's a pain. My computer's not recording today. That's cool.
Oh, no, Kyle.
No idea what happened. This is one of those things that internally I'm raging right now.
Yeah.
But I'm not allowed to, like, show that. So I want to let everybody know that I'm suppressing, like, genuine anger right now.
Okay.
I'm actually mad.
Oh, no.
Yeah. That's not my fault, though. I also didn't do this. Oh, my God. There we go. All right. I got a lot to do. I got a lot to do still.
We're all right, Kyle?
No, we're not, but it's fine. Good morning, everyone. It's a Thursday. It's the best day of the week, and the vibes are down now. The vibes are atrocious. We're watching France and Germany. France trying to pull away here in the fourth quarter. They've raised their lead to 10. I bet that building is insane right now.
Oh, yeah, they're loving it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, they're hoping for a lot more Dennis Schroeder drives to the basket against Victor Wembanyama.
What is he thinking?
I don't know.
So if you're not watching, Dennis Schroeder, and the reason this game matters is because Team USA plays today at 12:30 against Serbia. Winner of that game goes to the gold medal match against the winner of France-Germany. So that's why we're tapped in. That's why we're talking about it.
That's right.
We're not just all of a sudden big into European basketball teams.
No, I'm here to scout. I don't know what you're talking
you
about.
You are. You have been using the Olympics as a film session.
Yes. Like, I want to know if Matthias Lasort can actually play. and how do you get his rights, which may or may not still be owned by the Philadelphia 76ers? I might have to track down who has his rights. We're talking 6'9", 256 pounds, power forward center combo. Like, I'm in.
I'm with you. It's a fun thing. But also, I watch the Olympics and I watch just FIBA basketball in general.
Yeah.
And I see Dennis Schroeder is regularly one of the, like, 2 or 3 best players on the court.
Evan Fournier, superstar.
Evan Fournier, awesome.
Absolute superstar in the Olympics.
73-year-old Patty Mills had 26 points the other day against Serbia.
Oh.
That's where it's really hard to figure out, hey, are these guys just hidden gems? Because given the way basketball is scouted now.
Yeah.
There's not people in this tournament that teams are going, wait, who's that guy? NBA teams know who every single player in this tournament is. Oh, Dennis Schroeder needs to stop trying Victor Wembanyama.
I don't know what he's thinking. Wembanyama just swatted Schroeder's 3-point attempt from at least 8 yards away.
This is what we talked about yesterday. This is why you can't sleep on the Spurs in the Western Conference.
I think it's very true.
Like,
very
it's not true. It's not a bit. It's not, and it's not. just fawning over Victor Wembanyama because he's 7'4". No, you were talking about the pass he made out of the post to the cutter earlier.
Yeah.
He's blocking jumpers. He's blocking. Schroeder drives past him and does the thing. And what do you do to shot blockers, right? You get into the body.
Yep.
So you drive, you get into their body, you eliminate their upward ability, and then you get your shot up. And Schroeder, and you see players do this all the time. Who's the guy that you said, because I call this the Steph Curry move, but you say it's somebody else.
Oh, it's Trae Young.
Trae Young, right. The get the guy on your back hip, and then you stop.
It's to George Costanza's dad. They stop short.
Yes.
Yes.
So you get and that's what Schroeder gets past Wembanyama, has him on his hip, goes to create contact. Wembanyama avoids the contact, which typically, if the center moves out of the way of the guard to avoid the contact, they're out of shot blocking position, which is why they're absorbing the contact,
mm-hmm.
because they're trying to get to the shot. Schroeder goes to get into the shot blocker's body, Wembanyama in this case. Vic, we're homies. Vic, my guy Vic, Wemby avoids the contact and still reaches up over the top, not to get a piece of the shot, not like, oh, fingertip altered the shot. Full blown, like palming the basketball as it comes off of Schroeder's hand.
He roofed him.
Absolute alien move, dude.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And there's just, he turned 20. He turned 20 this year.
Oh my gosh.
He's going to be 20 for the entire first half of the NBA season. He's going to take over the world.
I think he is going to take over the world. I don't know if it'll be this year. I don't know if it'll be the year after or the year after that. But, man, is he just absolutely insane. I mean, Schroeder had a wide open three the elbow.
Like, good extra pass, like, found the open man.
Wide open.
Textbook basketball.
Wide open. And Wembanyama closed out and not only blocked it, but, like, kept it in play.
Sent it.
So while we're here, we're scouting all
kinds
of
names.
Players.
You're gonna get Monty McNair on the horn, and make sure that he's got these names down.
Yeah, I would like Gershon Ubaselli, who is a former first round pick of the Boston Celtics.
Mm-hmm.
He is a huge man. He's got like the Ben Wallace fro going.
It's with the headband.
Yeah, he's
it is an A+ look.
6'8", 260, something like that. Like, if you want a true throwback power forward, okay.
What is he?
What?
He's a hoss.
He's a hoss.
He's a hoss,
that's,
dude.
That's your name. I'm also in on Matthias Lesort. We can take him.
Cooking.
I want to call Bruno Caboclo and say, I think you're 2 years of 2 years away or up.
I think you're here. You've arrived. That's what's crazy about this is, in all sincerity, you're saying these names as, yeah, if you can acquire if you can get their rights and take a flyer and see what they look like in camp.
Yeah, why not?
You're not saying start Bruno Caboclo at the four, but would it shock you at all? Let's just say the Kings go, hey, Bruno, come on back to SAC. Huge fans out here. Love what you did in the Olympics. Get back here to Sacramento, and we're not gonna give you a roster spot, but we think that you'll earn your way onto the roster in training camp. And he says, great, I'm gonna do that. I want to pursue this NBA dream. I'm coming back. Would it shock you if he was just their sixth best big man?
Oh.
If just by the time camp ended, it was like, oh, he's the 2 years aren't here yet.
No, it would not surprise me.
That's exactly what would happen.
I honestly think that's what would happen. You would get him here and you'd be like, womp, 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 womp.
Yeah, this isn't a Hassan Whiteside thing, right? Where he never got, he didn't get a like real crack at the NBA.
Yeah, okay, so that's a good point. So people forget, like, Hassan Whiteside comes to the NBA as a early second round pick by the Sacramento Kings. I'm there. This is my first year. I'm there for all of this. They have him. They have, why am I drawing a blank? Well, they have DeMarcus Cousins, which mm-hmm. they draft in the same draft. But they also have Samuel Dalembert there. And they have they had people around him that could potentially help him.
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so when I was watching him come out of college, it was like, oh my gosh, everyone thought he'd be a top maybe 10 or 12 pick, and then he fell. And then it was like he might be a top 20 pick, and then he falls to the second round, the Kings draft him. But his first year was just a mess. Like he wasn't ready at all. There was a moment I remember Sammy Dallenberg came over to Whiteside and said, hey man, Coachy wants us over on the court, Coach Kirill. So if you can picture this, like a 5'1" Coach Kirill and two of the tallest human beings and largest wingspan people you'll ever run into in your entire life. And Hassan Whiteside's like, no, I'm good. And Dallenberg's like, no, man, it's not an option. You need
to. That's not how this goes.
Let's go. He goes, no, dude, I'm good. He's like, hey, Rook, I'm telling you, get over there right now. He's like, okay, I'll give you 10, like 10 reps. And I'm just watching this unfold. Like, he was so not ready to be an NBA player.
That's crazy.
At all. So that's his first year, and he kept getting hurt. And then his second year, he shows up to camp and he gained, I want to say it was 40 pounds. Like,
and not in a good way.
No, sheer muscle. Sheer muscle, all upper body. All he does is he doesn't realize it that the media is on the other side of a one-way mirror, and he comes over and he flexes in the mirror a bunch, not knowing that we're right on the other side.
That's tough.
And he gained so much weight that he ended up trashing his knee in camp. And we actually talked about it. We talked to him about, like, how did you gain so much weight? And he told us his dad was a defensive lineman for the Vikings in the 80s, which
right.
And his dad played at 290. We had no idea like that his dad was a defensive lineman or anything
right.
else. Anyway, ends up getting hurt. Like, some players come into the league, they're just not mentally ready. And that, like, I bring up, like, Caboclo, it could just be, like, at 28 years old, the light bulb goes off.
Maybe.
And he's ready. But I think the other problem is we're scouting all these guys. All these guys are probably under contract in Europe.
Yeah.
So
I would imagine
they probably don't have. Or maybe they have NBA outs. But if I was going to have an NBA out, it would be during the Olympics. Like, so I could. Hey, look, I might get scouted at the Olympics.
Yeah,
and maybe I can make my way. I don't know.
So Hassan Whiteside, in those 2 years with SAC, got 19 games in the NBA, and goes and plays in Lebanon. He got some D League action. He went to Lebanon again, played in China, and then came back with Miami. And when he came back with Miami, was when he really broke out.
Yeah.
He was fourth in most improved player voting, 15th in defensive player of the year voting in the 2014-15 season. All defense second team, third in DPOY voting the next year, fifth in DPOY voting the next year. And that was when he really came on. The thing with Caboclo, and the reason I think, if, again, going back to this hypothetical world where the Kings go, yeah, hey, we think he figured it out, we're going to bring him in. Caboclo got opportunities in the NBA.
Many.
105 games he's played in the NBA.
For how many different teams?
Four. Memphis, Toronto, Houston, and SAC.
Okay.
He averaged in the NBA 4.2 points, 3 boards, 0.7 assists, 0.6 blocks. He averaged the same number of assists as turnovers. It's just he's not... He had his shots in the NBA, and it didn't work. Like you said, he's 28.
Yeah.
Maybe he's figured it out, and he's put on the right kind of weight, and he's gotten under the right kind of coaching that just something clicked for him. But it just goes to show in the Olympics, I think that if the Kings were to bring Bruno Caboclo in, it would be like kind of how it was.
Yeah. That's probably the case. And we joke around about this, but, you know, there's only one Giannis Antetokounmpo, right? And Caboclo is kind of built like Giannis, right? Like, incredibly long wingspan, good height, all that stuff.
Yeah.
But then you also know that there's Thanasis, there's Kostas, there's Alex Antetokounmpo, and they aren't players.
Right.
They are in the league sometimes.
Right.
But they aren't NBA players.
Mm-hmm.
And so the fine line between, like, having that body style that looks so perfect for the NBA game and actually having NBA game, it's very, very small. Like being in the NBA means you understand, like, defensive rotations. You understand where you need to be on offense the whole time. You understand who you are as a player, Because if you don't figure that out really quickly, then you're going to be out of the league.
Yeah.
So you can't try to be, there's only one Michael Jordan.
Yep.
And there's only one superstar on every team if they're lucky. And those stars get like the bulk of whatever. And, and then veteran, like it's a very strict like way a team is built. And you have to play within that system. And I don't think Caboclo ever could.
Yeah.
I'd still take a flyer on him.
Yeah, if he can, why not? But
perfect fit. That's just a bonus.
if that happened, the takeaway for me would be, I got to see him do what he did in the Olympics against NBA competition, or some close facsimile.
Actually, I would just need him to average 8 points and 6 rebounds and a block and a half and a steal in 16 minutes. Just show me that you can do it in like a little tiny sample size. I don't need to see that you can put up 30 and 18.
Be better than Orlando Robinson.
Yes.
Can you beat out Orlando Robinson for a roster spot?
Can you beat out him? Can you beat out the Nerlens Noels of the world?
Yeah.
I don't know.
You mentioned Thanasis Antetokounmpo.
Yep.
Nobody caught more strays in the Bronny James discourse than Thanasis.
Oh.
Dude, I felt so bad for him. Every time somebody would bring up, well, Bronny's only in the league. If his name was Phil Smith, he wouldn't have gotten drafted. And dude, people were like, yeah, Thanasis Antetokounmpo is on a team. It's the same idea.
Mm-hmm.
Like, dang, man, come on.
It's really tough.
Throwing shots.
I mean,
it's Thanasis Antetokounmpo for no reason.
It's pretty tough. Thanasis has played in 198 games over, like, I mean, he came out of the draft in 2013-14. He's 32, Thanasis.
That's wild.
And the fact that he's just still kind of chilling, hanging out, averaging 0.9 points, 0.4 rebounds, and 0.5 assists per game. Okay.
I mean, I get it. I get the point. Just felt like, man, a lot of shots at him for no reason.
Yeah, that's true.
That's James. I'm Kyle. We're the Insiders. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. I want to remind you that we are giving away 2 tickets to the Rivercats game on Friday, August 16th, but not just any old tickets. We're going to have a suite up there,
mm-hmm.
ESPN 1320 suite. We're inviting you. You can win 2 tickets today at ESPN1320.com. We will give you a keyword. We'll give you the keyword. We'll start in the next segment. We'll give it a couple times throughout the show so you know when to go enter. At ESPN1320.com, your chance to win 2 tickets to the ESPN 1320 suite at Sutter Health Park for the Rivercats game on Friday, August 16th. Speaking of baseball, I like what you wrote on the rundown. The A's broke the White Sox. Well, the White Sox broke the White Sox. The A's losing 2 out of 3 to the A's was the final straw. Pedro Grifol, their GM, their manager, has been fired. He'll be replaced with Grady Sizemore?
Yeah, I think that's what I just read.
Grady Sizemore.
Yeah.
Guardians legend.
Grady Sizemore, I believe, is the choice.
Grady Sizemore was supposed to be that dude. He had a couple of unbelievable years in Cleveland,
mm-hmm.
and then just injury after injury after injury.
Yeah.
Kind of derailed him. That was tough.
Yeah, I can't. He's only 42.
That's insane.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Good for him.
Good for Grady Sizemore. Tough for the White Sox. I'm surprised it took this long for them to fire their manager.
Yeah, me too, because, I mean, I don't know, watching them, they do have players. Like,
yeah, they got a couple of interesting guys, for sure.
And that's before they traded guys at the deadline.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they probably even had, you know, more talent than what we're seeing. But to be that bad, what are they, 28 and 89 on the season?
Yeah, 61 under.
28 and 89.
61 games under.
We can just keep saying this for the rest of the segment.
They could win 50 games in a row and be 11 under 500. That's tough. So that's what's going on in baseball. I want to get to some Giants stuff a little bit later on, but there's no news on the Brandon Ayuk front.
Is no news good news?
I hesitate to commit to that because news could also be that he's signing a deal with the 49ers.
Oh.
But the longer this goes on and the more I think about it, I don't think he's getting traded.
Okay.
That's where I landed last night. I've been writing a lot about this. I've been thinking a lot about this. It just doesn't make sense. It doesn't track logically. And if a trade was going to happen, if the 49ers were really committed to trading Brandon Ayuk, then a deal would be done with the Steelers by now.
Yeah.
But the fact that the 49ers aren't in a rush to get it, like they're just waiting around either on Ayuk or on some team to give them a godfather offer, and then they'll move him. But I don't think the Steelers, who are the only team apparently realistically in the mix that this could happen with, have the assets to make the 49ers a godfather offer. So I know the trade talk has been all the rage the last few days, and I know our guy Andrew Filippone from 93.7 The Fan out in Pittsburgh reported that the deal was done, but it's clearly not. Because if a deal was done, it would have been executed by now.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get Jordan Schultz and Adam Schefter and Ian Rappaport all coming out and saying, yeah, there's no deal done. And it's because the Niners don't want to do a deal.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they're going to fleece a team for it. If the Steelers say, hey, fine, here's TJ Watt. Great. Deal's done.
Over. Done.
But they're not going to do that.
No.
The Steelers say, yeah, hey, here's Alex Highsmith, who has 21 and a half sacks the last 2 years. Here's Alex Highsmith and a first-round pick. Deal's done.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not. They're going, how about this offensive lineman and two day three draft picks? Or a day two and a day three draft pick? That's not gonna fly. That's not going to play.
Okay.
So if the Steelers don't have the goods for the 49ers, and the 49ers aren't eager to trade Brandon Ayuk, and Brandon Ayuk is under contract with the 49ers, everybody knows Brandon Ayuk's for sale. Or in theory, available in the trade market.
Mm-hmm.
So nobody's called and made a significant offer by now to move the 49ers?
Yeah.
Like that's, and or nobody that Brandon Ayuk would sign a long-term contract with,
mm-hmm,
has called and made that deal for the... So the more I think about this, the more I think that we are moving toward the result of... He negotiates with the Steelers, gets a contract, and the Niners go, okay, that's where we'll land then. We'll match the Steelers contract. And Ayuk signs it. Or this just stays at a stalemate until the week before the regular season starts and Ayuk pulls a Bosa and goes, all right, I'll come back to practice and I'm just going to play on my fifth-year option and we'll try this again next year.
Mm.
Just kind of bet on himself.
That's tough though, man.
But if you're the 49ers... From the 49ers standpoint, and this is what you and Kenny and I were talking about yesterday in the handoff. If you're the 49ers, you can lose Brandon Ayuk this year. You can trade him and get back in a sense, nothing. For something that's going to help you realistically as much as Brandon Ayuk would help you this year, you're not going to get that in a trade, particularly with the Steelers. So that's off the table. So you can trade him for nothing, and then you don't have him, and you also have nothing. Or you can keep him around, and maybe he holds out, in which case you don't have him. But he's still on your roster.
Mm-hmm.
He's still under contract. And if he wants to hold out for the year, then we'll try this again next year. Or if he wants to hold out until, I think it's week six, I think.
It's week eight.
Week eight? Whatever it is.
Yeah.
I think you have to play six games to accrue a season.
Okay.
But... if he wants to hold out until then, okay, fine. Then we'll do this again next year. But they're not going to just trade him for nothing.
Yeah, I totally
It just
agree.
Doesn't make sense.
Well, even if you were going to do that, you could hold on to him until week eight, and you can probably still get what you're getting offered right now. So, like,
trade him at the deadline?
Like, why not? You know? And the 49ers, I guess, they are at least adding a wide receiver to the stable. Mm-hmm. They're signing Robbie Chosen, formerly known as Robbie Anderson.
The 49ers are signing Robbie Chosen?
Per Matt Barrows.
Wow.
Through his agent, David Cantor. Chosen played 9 games last season for the Dolphins and Mike McDaniels, which means he's familiar with the 49ers offense. I don't know.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, okay. That's not going to move the needle. And it's certainly, if you're a championship caliber team, it's not going to be the thing that saves you if you do have to move on from Brandon Ayuk at this late stage of the day of the season.
Robbie Chosen is not That's the Nerlens Noel signing of the summer here.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, there was a point where he was solid wide receiver. You know, he had 1,096 yards and 3 touchdowns.
Ever a Pro Bowler?
In 2020. I don't know if he's made a Pro Bowl. I don't think so. You know, he had his moments, but over the last couple of years, he really hasn't played all that much. So, yeah.
Good old Robbie. He changed his last name to Chosen so he could wear the number 1 and his jersey would say Chosen One.
Oh, yeah. No.
I think he tried to do that, but yeah.
Well.
Yeah, I mean, God. This is just... No, this is not a thing. This is just a name people know because he was a popular fantasy football player a few years ago.
It's funny because I haven't seen this in Pro Football Reference. Note, formerly known as Robbie Anderson with a Y, also known as Robbie Anderson, i.e., R-O-B-B-I-E Anderson. So he's a serial name changer. Intriguing. Intriguing, to say the least. But, yeah, I mean, I don't think it this isn't the guy. This isn't the
Chosen
the
R. Anderson.
Yeah. He's had quite a few, not nicknames, quite a few name changes, which is very different.
This doesn't do anything for me.
No.
This is a camp body.
Yeah. I have more faith in Chris Connolly. That's who it is, right? That they had that made the big catch in the playoffs last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have more faith.
Yeah, Chris Conley. If Chris Conley's around, great. Robbie Chosen was available, and he is in the Willie Snead role now.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it is. It doesn't do anything for me.
That's funny.
But yeah, I just don't. You can look at the Niners' depth chart at receiver. You can look at the Steelers' roster. You can just kind of put the pieces together, and I know that everything has pointed toward trade the last few days, but...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, 3-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
When there's all these puzzle pieces and they don't fit together when it comes to moving him. It just doesn't... There's no... No. That's okay. Where I land. Doesn't make sense to me, man. So I don't think it's going to happen. Hey, we've got a basketball game here.
We got...
Germany's cut it to two. Oh, wow. Wemby just got... Oh, no. He's out of bounds.
Oh my gosh. They didn't call a foul?
That's tough.
Oh, France. That's tough.
It's a two-point game. France leads Germany. Evan Fournier just missed a jumper.
12 seconds.
Germany could not secure the rebound. Franz Wagner had it. That's good no call. And as he was pulling down the rebound, just fell down and fell out of bounds. I think it's a good no call on Fournier.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that's so brutal. Negative fouls. He wearing the book once? Yeah, he sure is.
I don't know.
How did Wemby not get that board?
Former teammates.
Make a play 32, huh? All right. Anyways.
Wow.
So winner of this game, the reason we care is the winner of France-Germany will play the winner of USA-Serbia for the gold medal.
Mm-hmm.
USA and Serbia play today at 12:30. That means it's going to be a watch party show on D'Lo and Casey, and I'm really, really excited for that.
They keep getting the watch party shows. How come we don't get watch party
shows? We're getting one right now.
I guess. But this isn't the watch party.
No, it's just a watch party, though.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. I guess. This game matters.
All right. I know it matters, but we're not getting Team USA watch party.
No. And that's fine because I'm not a professional like Damian. I'm not a professional like Kenny. They can do a show and then chime in and watch the game like while they're doing a show. I can't. I would be like just locked in, not saying anything.
For those of you on the radio, Kyle's just staring blankly at the TV.
Yeah. Okay. We got to hit a break. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Jiffy Lube sponsors the show. We have some more 49er stuff coming up. And then I saw something online last night that just made me start reminiscing about sports memories. And I want to talk about it next. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the insiders on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Leader.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
My whole flow's thrown off today, man.
You can do it, Kyle.
It would be super helpful to have a producer on this show.
Yeah.
That's... Can't have one thing go wrong. Because if it does... It throws off the whole vibe. Throws off the whole groove. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Germany down two against France with 7.4 left. It looks like France will be advancing to the gold medal game. They got to sink a couple of free throws, though, to cinch that up. And that is not a given based on what we've seen in the last couple of possessions.
They're also, France has been showing that they're going to foul and not let you get up a three.
Mm-hmm.
So that should add intrigue here. If they don't hit both of these, it could get a little interesting because if they're going to foul no matter what, I'm going up quickly with the shot and trying to get the foul call on the three.
Do you know what's crazy? Is I get the strategy behind fouling up three.
Uh-huh.
Because that only puts the team at the line for two. They can't tie the game, right? It is shocking to me how often teams mess that up. Either by not doing it, French guy hits the first one, makes it a three-point game. Who is that?
I don't know.
I don't know who that is either. Not just not doing it. Like, there are so many teams up three who choose not to foul. He sinks both free throws. France going to the gold medal game. Choosing not to foul up three is crazy, but when teams do choose to foul up three and just can't do it right, because I think everybody is worried about fouling a three-point shooter. And so it's like the timing of like trying to foul on the floor, make sure they're not in the act of shooting.
Yep.
So they end up like not fouling. It's just, it is, insane how often I'm watching an NBA game and it's up three and there's 4 seconds left and I'm like, yep, you got a foul here. And then guy gets up there, dude, foul his ass.
Didn't we see
hack
that?
Him.
Isn't that what our guy, UT, is that what was?
Yuki Kawamura?
Yuki Kawamura, he fouled.
No, they were down.
No.
Oh, no, they were up.
They were up four,
yes.
And he fouled a guy shooting a three and gave up the four-point play.
Yeah, but that's, I don't think he was trying to foul. I think he just fouled.
Pulls out too hard.
Yeah.
That's possible.
Anyways, France moving on to the gold medal game. They'll play the winner of the USA-Serbia match that's coming up at 12:30. Brandon Ayuk isn't getting traded. The A's beat the White Sox last night. The Giants are playing right now. They're back at 500. They beat the Nationals yesterday. But last night on Twitter, I was scrolling Twitter as I am wont to do at night. Mm-hmm. I actually try not to scroll my phone at night.
Okay.
It's just, it's just doom scrolling right before bed isn't super healthy. And just the blue light when it's dark, it's just not a super healthy thing to do. My light has gone out next to my bed.
Oh.
And I just have not replaced it. So instead of reading a book like I normally do at night, I've been scrolling my phone the last couple of days because I'm too lazy to change my light bulb. So I was scrolling late last night and I saw somebody post a video of an old 49ers game. And it was the 2021 divisional playoff game against the Packers.
Okay.
The one where they won 13-10. They blocked the field goal at the end of the first half. Jordan Willis blocks the punt late in the game. I think there's like 4.5 minutes left in the fourth quarter. He blocks the punt and Talanoa Hufanga returns it for a touchdown to tie the game. Third and nine, they go handoff to Deebo Samuel up the middle. He gets the 9 yards for the first down, gets him in field goal range, and then Robbie Gould drills the field goal to win it. And that's such a uniquely sports thing, at least for me. Maybe I'm just a weirdo, or maybe I just haven't experienced enough life yet. But I remember so many little details about that game.
Mm.
Just where I was, who I was with, how I reacted to certain things. I don't really have that. I have some life memories like that, but there are so many sporting events that are just core memories for me. And it's I started just kind of going through them last night and it started really making me think about I'm wearing the double bang shirt from the Steph Curry 2016 like half court shot against the Thunder.
Got it.
And that's another one where vivid details about that night. I know where I was. I was living in Arizona. I know the group of people I was with. It wasn't even a group of people I usually hung out with. I just happened to be at this bar called The Yard in Arizona. A great spot.
It's funny. When I think of sports memories, I usually associate things where, like, if it's a moment, like, I don't know. I don't remember each individual moments of games.
Mm-hmm.
Like even like I for years ago, I got asked by, I don't know, some giant publication. I can't remember, Business Week or something, mm-hmm. some weird,
mm-hmm.
to write about the 2002 Western Conference Finals. And like I had to go back through and watch what I could, but also go through box scores. Mm-hmm. And like put the thing, like build out a timeline in my head again of mm-hmm. the actual, you know, you think that this happened. Like so many of the events of that series,
yeah,
running together.
Yeah.
Right. So you're sitting there like trying to figure out what it is. When did this happen? When did Kobe mm-hmm. pop Mike Bibby in the face?
Mm-hmm.
When did Samaki Walker hit the half court shot at halftime? That was after it shouldn't have counted.
Mm-hmm.
And then they come back from like a 30-point deficit and win, the Lakers do. You know, the Robert Horry shot, all of these things, you try to put them in some sort of order.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't remember events like that. I remember more of like one of my first memory of watching the NFL is the catch. Right?
Wow.
It's like I watched that entire game, but I was watching it because we had family that some were Raiders fans and some were 49ers fans. It's like, who, what team are you choosing? And then the catch is what, like, defined me as a 49ers fan when I was very young. So there are these moments like that where you're like, they mean more because of a specific reason behind it. Like my first baseball game, I went to a A's Tigers game. The A's were incredible. It was like 19, I want to say it was either 88 or 89. And the A's had won something like 15 in a row and then lost the win streak the game before. And then they played Detroit, and I went down, you know, pregame. Lou Whitaker and Alan Trammell both signed autographs for me. Mark McGwire, I reached the old wood border, 87 tops over the dugout, and he signed during pre.
That's sick.
That's
so cool.
I was with my cousins and my uncle. He drove us. And so I remember, like, driving to the game. You know, we had to take Watt Avenue to go pick up my cousin, and my uncle made a game where he wanted to make every light. So we would be going 4 miles an hour down Watt until the light changed.
Hilarious.
So those are things.
That's so funny.
That's how I remember things. I don't remember. I remember things as if they're stories. I don't remember things as if, like, what happened in this at bat in this moment. So, yeah.
I think it's easier with football games because there's, like, six plays that ultimately define a game.
Yeah.
And, like, that Niners-Packers game I was just talking about, there was the Jimmy Garoppolo interception before the half. This is in succession. Just a god-awful interception. He's, like, rolling right, and he just flings it to trying to get it to George Kittle, but just horribly underthrew him. Easy interception for the Packers. And then Aaron Jones gets loose for what looked like a long touchdown right before the half. Jaquaski Tartt goes and tracks him down. Packers try an end-of-half field goal. Jimmy Ward gets through and blocks it. But again, that little stretch is just there. It's just seared in because those were the like little plays that kind of defined that game. And then the punt block, of course, the Deebo Samuel 3rd and 9. But if you ask me to go through and piece together, like, there might have been plays in between the Garoppolo interception to the Aaron Jones play to the blocked field goal. There might have been plays in between there. But you just kind of in general remember the big kind of moments. No, it's just I don't do that with anything else. Anything else in life. Like when I proposed to my wife, huge deal. I remember who we were with. I remember where we were. That'll be there forever. When we got married, where we got married, what day we got married, little like things about that day, they're there forever. Those are just core memories that are just, they make me happy. Like everything else, nah.
Everything else.
I don't know, it's just kind of a blur.
Just sports.
College blur. But man, if you want to know exactly where I was for the Brett Favre touchdown over Shante Spencer.
Yeah.
Who's that? Greg Lewis? Is that the receiver who caught it in Minnesota? I don't know. I remember where I was for that. Ask me anything else about college, I got nothing for you.
That's funny. Yeah, we were talking about this before. Like my wife and I had bought last minute, we paid too much money for tickets to the A's Yankee series, and we were lined up like right in line, right to the right of home plate, maybe like right underneath the overhang.
Okay,
so
first deck.
Yeah, lower bowl. Mm-hmm. Yeah, of the Coliseum when Jeter made the play at home plate.
Yeah,
and it happened so fast that we had to watch it again and again on the scoreboard.
Brutal.
To figure out what exactly. All I saw was a flash out of nowhere. What is he doing? But it was also the moment where you thought they had won, right?
Yeah.
You thought they had won and they were advancing. Like it was this huge moment. And then he's out at home plate. And it like the whole thing spins out of control. Jeremy Giambi was out at home plate.
Right,
so yeah. So like those are like the events that I like to, like I was lucky enough to go to. I had season tickets in 1995-96, and when I was young, me and some friends had season tickets, and I was I saw every game except for the Toronto Raptors, the first year the Raptors were in the league.
Oh.
But then...
So you went to 40 games?
Yeah. Yeah.
Damn.
I worked mornings, so I was able
awesome.
To go.
Hell yeah.
And then... we had playoff tickets. They made the playoffs that year. They played Seattle. Like that entire series was crazy. Like being there, like the like walking into the building, filling the
playoff
building.
Playoff energy is different, man.
Oh, yeah. Arco playoff energy was nuts.
Yeah.
Like, the building was
alive.
It's
so weird. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so weird. The first time I went to a playoff game at Candlestick, I want to get back to the Jeter thing momentarily, but my first playoff game at Candlestick was that same vibe. Like, I'd been to a bunch of Candlestick games, and you know, it's always a good time, but then when it's the playoffs, there's just this, like, it's just different.
Yeah.
The vibe's different. That Jeter play, I think, was where the light inside me as a sports fan died.
Oh.
Like, I learned at a very early age, because those A's teams, 2000, 2001, 2002, and I Kings fans probably relate very closely to this. As an A's fan at that point, I was 10, 11, and 12 years old. Just living and dying with Jason Isringhausen and Mark Ellis and Terrence Long, and just like, these are my dudes.
Yeah.
Like, Hudson, Mulder, Zito, Jason Giambi, like, John Jaha. Yes.
Yeah.
These are the homies. Like, just peak sports fandom, right? And peak, like, delusional sports fandom. And that Jeter play, I think, was the day that I realized, or the moment that I realized, like, oh, this is all just pain. All this is you're building up, and it's excitement, 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 and 999 times out of 1,000, it's going to end in pain. You are going to be sad. You are going to invest emotional energy. You are going to invest time and money and thoughts and words and breath into this thing that you have no control over, and it's going to be exhilarating, and you're going to have so much fun right up until you don't.
Until it's over. Yeah.
And I learned that at, what was that, 01?
Yeah, it's 2001, October 10th through the 15th.
11 years old.
Yeah.
I realized in that moment, a couple years later, you get Terrence Long striking out against Derek Lowe.
Bat on the shoulder.
Against the Red Sox. Bat on the shoulder. Ass out because it's that two-seamer. Everybody knows the two-seamer's coming, T-Long.
Don't, yeah.
How are you not sitting on that?
Don't you ever leave your bat on your shoulder.
Perfect front door two-seamer from Derek Lowe. Series over. Nope. Like, this is just what it is.
Yeah.
Three game fives in 3 years. All done. All lost.
Brutal.
I just understood then. I got it then. I'll never forget. When the A's went up, they were up 2-0 on, had to be the Yankees. This had to be, was it 0-1 that they were up 2-0 on the Yankees?
Yeah, I think so.
And they got the two in New York.
Yeah, they were going to sweep them, I believe. It's that night they were going to sweep them, and if he scores, they're going to win, and then they didn't, and then they lost the series.
I just remember telling my mom, like, hey, they got it in the bag. They're up 2-0, the series is over.
You jinxed them.
I did, right, and that's why people are like, Kyle, why are you so negative all the time? That! Because I learned.
Hey, I'll tell you.
I was a child.
My first A's game, we got to the seventh inning. The A's were, I think they were up like something like 8-3. And my uncle's like, all right, let's get out of here. I want to beat traffic. I'm like, okay, let's go.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't know any better. So we got up, we left. I'd been sitting in the sun all day. So I'm like, okay, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
And so we left, and we were listening to it on the way home. And the Tigers rallied and beat the A's,
mm-hmm.
and we missed it. And that's the last time left a sporting event early.
So brutal.
Like a real sporting event that I was going to pay for, I was going to watch. I don't leave games early.
Yeah.
Because of that. Well, I'm not going
to
do it.
I don't want to say never, because I've been to a couple of A's games where it's like 9-1 and it's hot.
Yeah.
I'm just like, it's nothing happened at the bottom of the eighth. All right, I'm out of here. I don't need to watch it. If they make a dramatic 9-run comeback, I'll watch the highlights.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's interesting that you know the moment that you became a Niner fan.
Oh, yeah, that was it. That was it. Like, literally, I became a Niners fan. I asked for a Niners jersey for Christmas. I don't think I got one that year, but maybe the next year, I ended up with a Freddie Solomon number 88 jersey.
Mm-hmm.
That was my first jersey. And
that's so sick. RIP Freddie Solomon.
One of the few jerseys I've ever owned. I'm not a jersey guy. So, like, outside of having some autograph stuff, like, yeah. I'm not, like, someone who wears jerseys.
Right.
Like, I have a Mahomes jersey, but it's only...
That's so funny.
It's only for draft day.
I love that for you.
And just to mock people.
I love that for you.
Yeah.
Greg Tabor said that moment made him a Niner fan, too. I don't remember a moment that I became a fan of any of my favorite teams.
Really?
Yeah. It just kind of existed.
Okay.
I just knew, and because both my parents were A's fans. So I just, okay, that's what I'm doing. And I actually remember, you know what? With the A's, I do remember. I was so little. And my parents are both, you know, they were in their late 20s for the 89 World Series, right? And they were season ticket holders. And so they hated the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just kind of what I picked up. And I remember, I can't remember if it was my mom or dad, being like, you don't have to hate the Giants. You can like whatever team you want. And I was like, no.
No.
I'm an A's fan. I'm an A's guy.
Oh,
but
no.
I just grew up. I grew up just knowing, like, oh yeah, the Warriors are the team in this house. The Sharks are the team in this house. The 49ers. Now, the Raiders had moved to LA when I was small. So my dad's Raider fandom wasn't as outward, whereas my mom was like a Niner season ticket holder.
Mm.
And that's where I don't remember ever having a choice. I think
it's interesting. My parents, like, growing up, my dad wasn't much of a sports fan. My mom couldn't stand it, didn't want it on the TV. So, like, I would sit in my bedroom and
How did you get there then?
I don't know, because me and my brother became huge sports fans. And then I started collecting baseball cards mm-hmm. when I was young. And then, like, I ended up really collecting cards. I probably still have like 30,000 cards sitting mm-hmm. in my basement.
Mm-hmm.
But me and my brother, we would play sports together all the time. We're only 15 months apart. And he is a Yankees fan. I'm an A's fan. We would play wiffle ball and do the lineups. So we would do stances, the batting stances and everything. I would have to bat left-handed when, you know, if it wasn't a switch hitter,
mm-hmm.
you have to bat lefty for whoever it is that was up in the
lineup.
That's
so funny.
Yeah, we would sit there and play it out. You know, good thing the A's had mostly right-handed and switch mm-hmm. hitters when I was young.
Yeah.
So maybe once I'd have to bat left-handed. And I remember
that's so funny
raking a home run left-handed because we had we would use a lawn chair
okay.
as our strike zone.
Perfect.
So if it hits an arm, hits the back, or hits the seat to strike, if it's anywhere else, first of all, it's going to roll down the hill and you're going to chase it down the driveway, which was forever. Like,
oh.
So we would sit there and we would play. And then we had a long, like, roof line. And if you hit it over the house, it was a home run. If you had, like, different spots on the house where mm-hmm. it would be a hit or a strikeout or an out.
Yeah.
And then, like, I would yank home runs left-handed every once in a while. Just
nice.
Yeah. So I grew up, like, loving sports, but, like, almost like educating the parents on sports as well, because we didn't have like natural, like my dad became a 49ers fan and my mom again doesn't care. She texts me every Super Bowl, like who's going to win today, because her and her friends watch a Super Bowl for the commercials or whatever. I don't know why they get together to
That's
watch
fantastic.
A Super Bowl, but they
I
don't.
Love that for them.
She has no idea what's going on.
I would like so badly to watch the Super Bowl with them.
People that don't know what's happening at
that
all.
That sounds like a blast.
Just like, oh my gosh, what's happening?
Just like, hey, what's up, Mrs. James's mom? These are squares. It's $5 a square. Everybody pitch in. Like, this is what we're doing today.
Yeah.
There's a prop sheet.
Pick, so I think it's interesting.
Pick one or the other.
You talk about like not knowing like when you became a fan of a sport or whatever. I remember like when I was young, the Kings... They still do outreaches like this on occasion, and they need mm-hmm. to do more of it because I think it is impactful. Harold Presley and Michael Jackson came to a Nevada Union football game when I was a kid, and it was like, here, I don't know why they came. Like, they introduced them. Huh. The announcer for Nevada Union football was the PA announcer for the Kings, Fred Anderson,
okay.
for the first, I don't know, 15, 16 years okay. in Sacramento. Before Scott Moak got the job,
mm-hmm.
Fred Anderson was the voice of the Kings inside the arena.
Got it.
And then his daughter and I went to high school together. So we're friends, still friends.
Cool.
So I remember like becoming, you're like, oh, well, this is cool. They're here at our school.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would listen to games while I worked and stuff like that. And, but it was tough. Like watching a Kings game then wasn't easy. Again, listening to him on the radio yeah. all the time, listening to Gary Gerald on the radio the whole time. And then I remember going to Fan Fest in like 1998. So Kings had like built up and then like they made the playoffs. They missed the playoffs by a game one year. They make the playoffs mm-hmm. in 95, 96. Then they fall apart, right? Brian Grant leaves. Mm-hmm. Mitch Richmond wants out, all that stuff. And then there's the lockout, the 98, 99 lockout. And everyone kind of goes away and you're waiting for something to happen. The Kings have made the trade for Chris Webber, which was like a huge deal with Mitch Richmond going out. But then the draft happened and they were able to draft Jason Williams in the draft. They were able to get Peja Stojakovic to come over. They were able to sign Vlade Divac right before the season starts in like January of that year. It's a totally short season. And I remember going to FanFest right before that season and no one had really knew anything about Jason Williams. And then Jason Williams steps on the court in FanFest and it was like, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Like the whole building gets quiet. Like, oh my gosh, there's something like you have
game
something.
Just changed.
You have something yeah. like this is wild and crazy. And that was one of those where it like reignited like everything in Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was a cool moment too. So.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Cause at that point there wasn't YouTube. There wasn't
not nearly
like, deep diving the NBA draft the way people do now.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like, I used to make draft Bibles, which right. were like on a Daisy Pinwheel printer.
Right.
Which I don't even know if you know what that is.
Nope.
You had to tear the edges off the paper.
Okay.
Like I
oh,
would,
yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah, yeah.
So I would build draft Bibles.
Right.
I would print out everything. Like I had like a 1996 NBA draft Bible that mm-hmm. like well, I probably wasted like two reels of ink like printing out.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. Yeah, man. I don't have a moment that I became that's what, because in my house, that's what we did.
No, it's my boys yeah, probably have the same exact thought yeah. that you do. They're born into it.
Yeah.
So like you're born into, like my youngest isn't really a sports fan, but my oldest, like huge Niner fan,
mm-hmm.
huge Kings fan, mm-hmm. huge A's fan.
Yeah.
I wrote about him, me and him going to an A's game maybe a decade ago, maybe a little bit more than mm-hmm. that. And like just like the bond between fathers passing along sports
yeah, yeah.
fandom and stuff. And to me, it's always been like we are in our household. This is who your teams are.
Mm-hmm.
And then my son has friends from all over the place. And, you know, a kid from Texas, he wants to talk trash all the time about his teams. It's like, come on, man. So come on, Cowboys fan. Come on.
Ew.
Yeah.
Gross.
It happens.
Gross. That's the most annoying thing about the Niners not having a Super Bowl, is that the Cowboys have still won one more recently.
Mm.
That's frustrating.
Oh, yeah, that is interesting.
The Niners have been so much better.
So much better.
And have nothing to show for it.
Since, what, 95?
The 94 season.
Yeah.
And then the Cowboys won the next year.
Tough.
I mean.
Yeah.
It's so, dude, it has been 30 years since the Niners won a Super Bowl. 30.
Kenny hasn't won in 12 in that span, or at least 7 in that span.
Well, all three Harbaugh years.
Yeah. I mean, he is very convinced that he counts them.
All three Harbaugh years, and then I'm guessing 19, 21, 22, and 23. So, yeah, 7.
Yeah. It's funny.
Why not? I wish I could live in that headspace.
Yep.
Instead, Derek Jeter just killed the light inside me mm-hmm. as a child, and I don't have that kind of optimism anymore. All right, we gotta hit a break. I don't know.
We'll figure out something to talk about.
Yeah, we'll have something next on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Hitter.
From the mind of a 2 foot tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.